This is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. Want to see my picture on the cover? Want to buy 5 copies for my mother? Want to see my smiling face on the cover of the Rolling Stone? These are lyrics from the 1973 hit song by Dr. Hook and the Medicine Show, cover of the Rolling Stone. And it drives the point that being on the cover of the Rolling Stone magazine holds a very cultural significance in the United States, in America. It means that you have arrived as a pop star, which is all the more troubling for a new Rolling Stone cover that features Zarna Sermayes, who is the Boston suspected bomber, and it has a cell phone selfie picture of him with his hair tossed, and he looks kind of dreamy, some people say. But this is a young man suspected, accused of a deadly act of terrorism. This has become a controversial cover for the Rolling Stone, with retail outlets across America now refusing to sell this particular issue. And many people are condemning Rolling Stone's their editorial decision for featuring the suspect as if he were a rock star. Now, with me to talk about the history of magazine cover controversies, we've got Sammy Johnson. She's a Trinity professor, professor at Trinity University, author of the book The Magazine from Cover to Cover, and at the University of Texas, journalism professor David Gorlock on how magazines weigh cost and benefit and the ethics of controversial covers. Welcome to The Source.
Thank you.
And so, and we also welcome our callers. Our phone lines are open. If you have a reaction to this cover, the number is 614-8980, 614-8980. You can also email your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org. Go to the comments section on our website at tpr.org. Now, let me ask you, Sammy Johnson, a professor at Trinity University. You're an expert on the magazine cover. How do you see this cover, just as a cover in itself?
As a cover in itself, it's doing what it is supposed to do. Magazine covers historically have been the most important face of the magazine. They are used in order to get people interested in buying the magazine. If you're walking past a newsstand, you have about 5 seconds to make that decision on whether you're going to reach for a particular issue or pass it by and get something else. The cover is the most important editorial and design page of a magazine.
So David Gorlock at UT Austin, a journalism professor, do you think that Rolling Stone right now, is someone going to get promoted or fired for picking this cover?
Depends on the on who the the role of the art director and the circulation director and how much they like the art director and whoever chose the cover. But keep in mind that when a magazine like this or a Texas Monthly choose a cover, a whole bunch of people are involved, including a newsstand salesman, a circulation director, the editor, the art director. And when they put a cover out like this, they know exactly what the chances are that it will sell or it will not sell or if it's going to get them in trouble. So I think it just depends on how many voices were involved in this. But also, Rolling Stone has a long history of terrible newsstand sales. They only sell about 5% of their newsstand sales per cover, per issue, and that's in even a terrible market. So, I mean, they only sell 75,000 copies out of 1.5 million. So I think what Sammy said probably makes a lot of sense. I mean, they need to get some impact, and they need people to talk about it. So I think you're going to have some of your callers talk about the ethics of it, because it's like when they did a Michelle Obama cover in the New York a few years ago called The Politics of Fears. People just went crazy. So I don't know. They don't still make newsstand covers to begin with, so I'm not sure that they're looking for a whole lot of revenue on this.
Well, Professor Gorlock, I mean, will Rolling Stone, are they happy that there all this controversy and this attention is happening around the magazine, or are they upset that they're not going to get those sales at these retail outlets?
Well, considering that they don't have sales at newsstand outlets usually at all, they did have some with the General McChrystal cover up in a couple years ago, but that was they had a big burst of sales, but that was 1%. But I just go back to they have 1.5 million paid and requested readers, and they sell 75,000 on the newsstand, and they frequently have covers with a whole lot of oomph. So I'm not really sure. Probably the ethical considerations are going to be a consideration based on what people say. But I, like I said, they're not going to make any revenue on this cover anyway. They're not going to probably get a whole lot of new subscribers. So I guess they're just hoping for a lot of online readers, and as you noticed, they don't pay a lot for that either. So,
but it's got us.
I don't know. It might just be business as normal.
It has us and other people talking about the Rolling Stone, which is something that hasn't happened in quite a while. So, Sammy, let me ask you about does it matter that this is the Rolling Stone? Had this been on a different magazine, Esquire, would have made a difference?
Oh, I think there would have been controversy with Esquire as well. I think that the idea is that Rolling Stone is a popular culture magazine. It started out as music, counterculture back in the 1970s, and historically the magazine has run a lot of celebrities. And we're a celebrity culture. So one could argue that putting any image on the cover of Rolling Stone, as you said at the very beginning of the opening of the program, you have arrived. You have become somebody. And we look at covers and we see what we want to see in them. And some people are seeing that this particular cover glamorizes a suspected terrorist.
And so, Professor Gorlach, so you're looking at the benefits and the ethical cost. So in the long run, I mean, does this drive down the brand for the Rolling Stone, or does it improve the brand for the Rolling Stone?
It depends what their motives are. The Stanley McChrystal profile gave them a little uptick. I mean, for a while after they did that one, the brand has been established forever. Rolling Stone has been what it is for a long, long time. They ran a Shaun White cover about 4 years ago with the skateboard next to him that was basically beyond sexy. So I don't know. I think that's a good question. I think a lot of people would ask that as to what their motive is. They don't sell on the newsstand, but nobody else does either. Their ad circulation is not particularly their advertising sales are not particularly strong right now. So you probably want a really good answer for this, but I'm just not really sure that I have one. I'm writing a book about Texas Monthly right now, and I'm real familiar with their circulation discussions on every cover. And they know some are going to sell, and they know some are not going to sell. The Joel Osteen cover 2 years ago was one of the worst-selling covers in their history, and they actually thought it might do better than it did. So a lot of times on this, you don't know what you're going to have until the public goes. And Sammy mentioned 5 seconds. That's right. People go in the newsstand. They pick it up. They walk away. Unless they subscribe, you just don't really know how it's going to do. It might be something that they wanted to get some publicity. I don't think Rolling Stone is talked about as much as Vanity Fair and Esquire is anymore. So maybe they just wanted to get the public's attention. It's not a bad profile,
right?
But
so,
I can't really say that.
Okay.
That after reading it, that I learned a whole lot of things that we didn't know before.
All right, so we're going to go take a quick break. We do want to get callers in on this. What do you think about that cover on the Rolling Stone featuring suspect number 2 of the Boston bombing, 614-8980? 614-8980. Is he a hero, or is he an idol, American idol, or what? Give us a call, 614-8980.
Suspect number 2 is really cute. He had a pretty cute brother, too. But the boy is 19. He looks like a Jonas brother. And I know that somebody's going to be like, oh, you sick. How can you like somebody who did that bombing? Oh, my God. You're a terrible person. He's a terrible person. You're going to go to hell. Well, at least if I do, I will be right there next to Jahar. Good-looking people do evil stuff all the time. Just because you did something bad does not mean that you cannot be cute. I'm not one of those girls saying, oh, he can put a bomb in me. And although public opinion may be very strong right now, there's no way to say what actually happened. Oh my God, they found the white hat in his closet. Oh my God. Nigga, shut up. He's still good looking.
That is a YouTube video of a young girl talking about how cute suspect number 2 is. There had been a lot of tweets and people, girls had posted about how they thought that he was cute. He couldn't be guilty of the Boston bombing. He's a suspect in the Boston bombing. And now his photo, his picture is on the cover of the Rolling Stone, Rolling Stone magazine, being accused of propping him up as a Jim Morrison type rock star. And it's causing quite the controversy. We're talking about that right now, and we invite you to call in with your comments. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. And by the way, after that young lady posted that video on YouTube praising the looks of that young man. She lost her job at the Petco, and she's no longer invited to parties. So she has complained about that. All right, so let's go on with our experts that we've assembled here for this discussion. We got Sammy Johnson. She's a professor at Trinity University, author of the book, The Magazine from Cover to Cover, and the University of Texas journalism professor, David Gorlock. And he, so let me ask you, Sammy, about, I mean, if this Sarnoff guy, Zohar Sarnsi, I can't, I butcher that name every time. I mean,
he's the alleged bomber.
I mean, there is a level of attraction there. I mean, he's a good looking young man. Had he not been good looking, had he be like, you know, sort of a dopey kind of a guy, sort of, you know, like Bradley Manning or someone he's not, you know, then would it be the same?
Well, we know that people like to see pictures of good-looking people. I mean, people hire people who are better-looking over people who are ugly. I mean, that's part of the American culture. If the alleged bomber was a really ugly guy and sent out alarms of evil, then we would have a different image. But he looks angelic almost, as some people have said. And how could someone who looks so nice, who looks so good, do something so bad? And this is a disconnect for a lot of people. And part of it is the idea of the image and what we take from an image.
And maybe that's the conflict. That's what's causing the controversy. They want him to be hard to look at, a monster, but you don't get that off the cosmetics of his appearance.
Absolutely.
And so then as you learn who he is and what he's accused of doing, then you're repelled by him. And so there is a tearing of it there, of what's going on. So David Gorlock at UT Austin, do you think that they picked this photograph of him because he is an attractive young man?
Well, I don't know. This is the photo they had. I'm pretty sure.
But there are a lot of photos of him. There are lots of photos of him. They could have used a photo of him from that from the street camera of when they were planting the bombs.
Well, this did not look like a photo I hadn't seen before. I've seen it before, I think, but it was soft focus, and you mentioned Jim Morris. It looks a lot like that. I'm not really sure about that. What I thought is that it was kind of a dopey color and a cover, and I'm surprised that they went with it. But, you know, usually when you have horrific accidents like this, alleged murders or whatever, I was thinking of Truman Capote's In Cold Blood or the O.J. Shots in both Time and Newsweek, when Time, I think, darkened his skin that made a lot of controversy and there was this number underneath him. They were extremely horrific type things. Yeah, this thing we're talking about, an alleged murder of a lot of people, and it does look like a basic rock star. I mean, to me, when you see a cover like that on the cover of Rolling Stone, like you said, you're not predicting or thinking you're going to see a really in-depth monster type photo. So, yeah, I'm sure they chose it because the guy had that little dreamy look to him.
Okay. All right.
Yeah,
so
I would not have done that.
All right, let's go to the phones. The number to call to join the conversation, 614-8980. Let's go to Todd. Todd, welcome to The Source.
Oh, thanks. I just want to comment that I think the American haste to ban things and find a distaste and sort of forgets the fact that, you know, this is America, freedom of press, freedom of speech, and I think really kind of doing nothing more terrible than exercising that right. And as for the impulse of, you know, making him, you know, glamorous or whatever, so they didn't doctor the photo. This is just a photo of him, and the whole point of the article, which it says on the cover, is to explore what happened. How did this happen to a normal kid? You know, I mean, remember he had friends, college friends that, you know, loved him obviously because they put themselves at risk to try and, you know, throw away his backpack and stuff like that. Did they do it because he was some kind of monster? No, he was like a normal kid to them. He was a friend. They're probably in shock as everybody else and couldn't believe he did that and wanted to protect him because they, you know, cared about him. And I think the point of the article is for us to examine what happened, you know, because obviously, you know, all terrorists aren't necessarily some Middle Eastern guy with a ZZ Top beard, you know. It fits all kinds of models, and I think that point is being lost in all this controversy. Like, the point of the article was just to try and find out how a seemingly normal kid, you know, fell off the deep end and turned into a monster. And it says that right in the article. And I'm just kind of amazed that Americans are so quick to abandon their principles.
Okay. All right, Todd. Thank you for your comments. Good comments. Appreciate that. So he brings up the point when he started off by talking about the banning of this at stores. How would that really prevent this from being this? What are they doing? Banning it from stores, not allowing it to be sold. Do they have to protect the public? Is that what they're doing from our eyes, from seeing this image that can be seen anywhere on the internet, or are they going to block it from what's up with that? So, Dave Gorlach, what do you think about that?
Those stores that you mentioned don't sell very many copies anyway. No, nobody's going to be flying in the CVS to get a copy of Rolling Stone. So, you know, if this had been Costco, Walmart, or one of the big places where they really sell it, it might be an issue. But this is just a few small things. It kind of reminded me of many years ago when the HEB banned the Austin Chronicle in Austin for a while because somebody complained. So,
well, Walmart's not going to be selling it. I believe they've joined the call not to put this on their shelves. So that will hurt that circulation there. But the whole idea of a retailer being able to decide they're not arbitrarily, not arbitrarily, but selectively, that they're going to, this cover is okay, but this cover is not okay. This issue is fine. Do they really have the mission to protect the public from seeing things that we shouldn't see? Sammy?
I don't think retail outlets should be doing these sorts of things. I think retail outlets should be running whatever material they receive. I understand that they might find some material to be maybe inappropriate for children's eyes, or like their movie ratings and so forth. But I think that the American people need to have the opportunity to see this cover, read this article, and see what it's all about. As your caller commented, and as we've said before, the article itself did not glamorize the suspect, and he is called a monster. So it's not as if he has... It is because the cover looks like a rock star that it's creating all the controversy.
Okay, so let's go back to the phone. Samantha has been waiting so long. Samantha, welcome to The Source.
Thank you very much. I think the problem here is that there's much ado about very little. This isn't the first time that, you know, the so-called bad guy has been on a cover. We've had Manson, Hitler, Bin Laden on the cover of magazines before. The problem is that our society has come to rely on too long, didn't read. We look at the cover, we immediately make a decision about the content, and we move on. Nobody wants to read the story anymore. Nobody wants to see what's happening anymore. It even says on the cover, you know, he's a monster. Nowhere in there does it glamorize it, but everybody has just looked at the cover, said, oh, he looks pretty on there, and just immediately run with that, and nobody takes the time to look at the content, and that's a big failing on our society's part.
Okay, Samantha, thank you for those comments. Is that true? Do you think people really don't read the articles? They just look at the pictures?
I feel that is the case in many instances. I think a lot of young people tend to be very much driven by images rather than words. And I know that the editors of Rolling Stone said very clearly that this article was designed to attract a specific audience, the young man in that particular age group who would be interested in knowing this story. So I think that the Rolling Stone editors were trying to reach a specific audience who might want to know about this young man.
Is it harder to stir up controversy today than it was, you know, 10, 20 years ago? I mean, I think we've seen it all, you know, with from the Demi Moore cover of her being pregnant.
She was naked and pregnant
and
on the cover
the John
of Vanity
Lennon
Fair.
On top of
John Lennon was naked on Rolling Stone.
Yoko Ono. You know, and it just and everything. Our eyes have just become calloused.
Go ahead,
Mr. Professor Gorlach.
No, go ahead. What were you saying?
So. I mean, is it harder now to have a controversial cover?
Well, everybody tries to have a controversial cover, so people will pick it up and buy it. Do you mean have a controversial cover that is effective?
Well, even, you know, controversy or having something, I mean, people are so used to being shocked that what you know, this is an interesting way to try and get that shock factor in that controversy. The image in itself is not controversial, but it's in context of knowing who it is and what he's accused of doing is what causes the controversy.
Well, yeah, what Dr. Johnson said a second ago about the Demi Moore covers, I was just going to jump in and say, don't forget the one where she was painted completely nude with color paints. Huh? But if you think about it, the New Yorker cover a couple years ago with Michelle Obama, The Politics of Fear, where it looked like she was a Muslim terrorist, and they were burning American flag, and there was a Bin Laden cover over the fireplace, just got people outraged. And if you look how quickly something like this gets people outraged, or the thing with Trayvon Martin a few weeks ago, I mean, I think the sensitivity to get outraged is every bit as strong as it ever was, and maybe more so. Maybe actually getting people to react is difficult, but no, I don't think you're saying people are kind of inured to the point where no matter what you put on, they'll just yawn. And magazine covers, of which I play quite a bit too, no, you can get people going in a hurry if you just offend them in the right way.
Some of our Facebook comments.
People don't care anymore.
Some of our Facebook comments. What a shame. Rolling Stone. Another comment. Freedom of the press. We have the freedom of the press not to pick it up. I wouldn't have looked at it if it weren't posted here. So as the controversy kind of drives people to something that they probably wouldn't have noticed anyway.
There is a long tradition of books and movies being banned that probably would not have been as successful. But because they got that kind of publicity, people rushed out to see the movie, rushed out to buy the book. And I think people are going to rush to Barnes and Nobles and to what other retailers are selling the magazine to see for themselves. If they're interested, they will want to make their own decisions.
All right, we're out of time talking about the cover of the Rolling Stone, a suspected terrorist number two from the Boston bombing on the cover. And thank you for joining us, David Gorlach of the Gorlach of UT Austin. And also we have Sammy Johnson, professor at Trinity University, author of the book, The Magazine from Cover to Cover. We're going to continue the source in just a moment. We're going to talk about are the police being militarized? Is there a war against you, the public? Stay tuned.